Lord Jesus, you appeared to your friends and they believed. Help us as we hear your word to recognize you in all the people we meet and to believe that you are the Messiah and to follow you. Amen. Please sit. Well, last Sunday I was preaching on change, relating it to Thomas and his doubts and the way the disciples lost their fear and stood up to the authorities, becoming true apostles. This week, the theme of change continues, but with a different slant, pointing towards seeing and recognizing. And this may provide us some new insights. Yes, I'm afraid another pun in there. To know what it is, and how we should live and how we should be seen to live by others. Well, one of the problems I have with my vision is that although I can see well enough to do many things, it's very hard for me to recognize people at any distance, especially if they're somewhere that I do not expect them to meet them. So unexpected callers at our front door, who I may well know perfectly well, get a somewhat cool reception until I actually recognize them. And as I've said to some people, it helps if you tell me who you are when you say hello. Well, do you see that this is much the theme of the epistle and the gospel readings today? For some time, Saul has been hunting down and persecuting the followers of Jesus, and his zeal for this has got him permission to go to Damascus to do the same there. So the message of Jesus, we know this, the message of Jesus has already got and spread out from Jerusalem to Damascus and probably further. And then while Saul is on the way there, we have that well-known story of Saul's encounter with Jesus. Encounters which change us or affect us in a big way often are referred to as Damascus Road experience. And of course, if you do not know that story, you will not understand the meaning of that phrase. So in the story, we see how Saul does not recognize Jesus. He cannot see, literally. He is in the light, and yet, at the same time, totally in the dark. And we use that seeing metaphor so often when we talk, oh, now I see, when we mean we understand something. Oh, it was staring me in the face when talking about something which was obvious, and I have that problem too, myself in a physical sense, because I can put something down and then be unable to see it even when it is right in front of me. Now Saul was left not seeing for 3 whole days while the impact of what he had been doing and what he was to do sank in and he discovered the right way to go. Well, our gospel reading follows this theme of seeing or not seeing and recognizing what was there. The disciples, who are leaderless and unsure really of what to do, are at a loss. And Peter says, I'm going fishing, because he knew how to do that, or thought he did anyway. And they all need to eat and earn some money. However, despite their skills, they cannot see the fish. They are hidden. They, the fish, and the disciples are actually in the dark. Remember, they're doing this at night. And then dawn comes, and Jesus, who can see the fish, tells them what to do, and everything changes in an instant and becomes clear. Suddenly, they recognize Jesus. They see who this man on the shore is. And Peter, in his usual way, his usual impetuous way, rushes to put on his clothes and jumps in, not caring about the fish and the others. And perhaps not wanting, and I think that's interesting, perhaps he's not wanting to be naked before Jesus. And this is perhaps an echo of Adam and Eve not wanting to be naked before God. St. John is rather fond of this sort of comparison. So Peter does go back when Jesus asks for some fish to cook, and so the fisherman had to recognize that although he thought he knew how to fish, he needed to realize that he needed help to see where the fish were. Yes, for all this, even now, when Peter knew that the man cooking breakfast for them, giving them physical nourishment, food which they needed, was Jesus, he still didn't fully see. And we should not be surprised here, because from all the stories about Peter, we can see, I hope, that how quickly he often speaks, but fails in reality in really understanding exactly what he said, the full meaning, the impact of his words. And so that nicely brings us to the second half of the gospel reading, which we heard. It's that well-known passage of Jesus asking Peter if Peter really loved him. Now, I dare say that even before that, Peter was embarrassed, wanting perhaps to forget the incident of the cock crowing twice, I suspect. I think he hoped probably that Jesus would not focus on this incident. And perhaps that was part of the reason he jumped in off the boat in a hurry and then back to the sea to drag the fish ashore, a displacement activity. So the first time Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, Peter answers, I think, without hesitation. Maybe it's the same for the second time, but perhaps Peter is starting to feel rather edgy, and by the third time he shows that he can see what Jesus is on about. Three denials and three questions, so Peter can be healed by his own answers. That third time must have been totally shattering for Peter, that final recognition of what was happening. And then that simple and yet hardest instruction, follow me. Have we denied someone or dismissed them in any way? Can we see where what we have done? Can we actually admit to anyone else, especially the person we've wronged? Can we ask for forgiveness? And can we change? Do we want to change? Going right back to when I was a teenager at school, I had a couple of friends. We got on pretty well, but for reasons that will remain private, two of us, in modern social media terms, unfriended the third. And every so often, that memory of what part I played in that comes back to me, and I actually deeply regret it. I regret my behaviour, and I ought to try and find out where he is or whatever, and at least apologise in some manner for the hurt I absolutely, undoubtedly caused him. I feel awkward admitting it and trying to take some form of action to say sorry. Yes, it's hard to admit when we are wrong and we have fallen short. But Jesus does not give up on Peter, and God did not give up on Paul either. And God does not give up on us, even if we in some way give up on God. We are loved and cherished by God. Forgiveness is held out to us, but we have to act as well. Ask me in a year if I've resolved my issue. And so I want to close with a prayer that I'm very fond of. It's adapted from a prayer by Brother Roger of Teze, who was killed in his church. However, his work lives on in the tireless work at Teze for reconciliation. O risen Christ, you breathe your Holy Spirit on us like a gentle breeze, and you tell us, peace be yours. We open ourselves to your peace, letting it penetrate the harsh and rocky ground of our hearts. We prepare ourselves to be bearers of reconciliation wherever you may place us. At times, you know we are at a loss. So come and lead us to wait in silence, to let a ray of hope shine forth in our world. Amen.